Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. I love movies. Chris Hardwick does not lie when he sings. And he's the singer of that song, Hard and Firm, came up with that ditty for me that I keep getting tweets from people saying that it's really, burrowed into their brains and they can't stop singing it and they also don't know the words. I can't stop singing it and I don't even know what I'm with 15 ads of popcorn kernels. What the fuck are... What is he saying? But you can go to aspecialthing.com and somewhere on one of my threads, I think Matt Belknap writes out all the lyrics, if you're dying to know the lyrics. I want to say that we're coming to you live on tape from the UCB Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles before Comedy Death Ray, a weekly show on every Tuesday night here at UCB in LA, and we thank them for letting us be the pre-show, if you will. And I'd like to thank everyone who's listening and anybody in this room who's done this, but I don't think any of you have because L.A. wasn't one of the stops. But I'd like to thank everyone that came out to Doug Benson's medical marijuana tour. We did 13 states in 13 days, me and Graham Elwood. Here's my quick yearly update before I get the show going. Every year I like to do this. I didn't see Saw. I didn't see Saw 2. I saw Saw 3. I didn't see Saw 4 or 5. And I have no plans to see Saw 6. But that might change. The only people, I said that on Twitter, and people were like, "Why'd you see Saw 3? Like, I'm such an asshole for picking the third one to finally go to one and then never see another one again." And the reason is because I was dating a girl at the time who wanted to see it, and I never say no to a girl that wants to go see a scary movie, because I think they're boring and dumb, and but there's a good chance to maybe grab onto something. And latch onto some shit if you're at a scary movie. Also, I don't like to fly in planes, but if a girl wants to go, that doesn't make sense. I also want to quickly mention that my buddy Patton Oswalt's movie that I've been talking about on every episode is still bouncing around the country. It's called Big Fan, and when this podcast starts to air, you can see it if you live in San Francisco or Berkeley. It's playing in Lumiere Theaters or Landmark, something hoity-toity like that, to go watch Patton act like a total freak. Let's bring out our guests, shall we? Let's do this. So exciting. My guest today on the podcast co-wrote Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, along with lots of other movies, and you also might know them as Lieutenant Jim Dangle and Deputy Travis Jr. from Reno 9-11, I like to call it. Tom Lennon and Robert Baker Anderson here.
They're running around, they're excited.
I've never had guests that are more excited than you two. I mean, Tom more than Ben. That's what we call him. We call him Ben, even though it's his middle name in show business. In real life, we call him Ben. Hey, look, I'm Iron Man. And you can... I should have mentioned that backstage. The physical gags go over the best of the podcast. It actually makes people want to come see it live, which is exciting.
He's doing a Pepper Iron Man.
I really do like you, Pepper. Look, I'm Iron Man, Pepper. Pepper.
How do you think they're going to up the stakes in Iron Man 2? Do you think Iron Man's going to get slapped by two monkeys instead of just the one?
That's how we would do it.
That's exactly what we would do. We put him up against Waffle Iron Man. He's like a bizarro, you know, like made in a bizarro universe.
But as always, Iron has Man. Something delicious ready to go.
He's Belgian and shit. Always burns the first one.
You should know, Iron Man, I always burn the first one.
That's a Belgian accent?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been in like some sort of meeting or something where somebody does accidentally say Reno 9-11? Has anybody called it that on purpose?
On live television once.
Yeah.
We were doing publicity for the movie. And yeah, a morning, it's like 6 in the morning, and some morning in like Philadelphia, a reporter said, and now, she reading the teleprompter, she said, and now, the heroes of 9-11.
And you cut 4:45 a.m.
Oh, good morning, Tulsa. It's gonna rain.
Bring your boots inside. And the worst tragedy ever.
You can take the mic out of the stand and hold it.
I don't think I'm gonna,
if you want.
I don't think I'm gonna.
So how does it feel being the first of the two Amelia Earhart movies to hit theaters this year? Did you feel excited that you got to jump?
We scooped them.
I was going to say, or the hot one, but the other one, she's also pretty hot too, isn't she?
Yeah. People argue about Hilary Swank's hotness. I think it's just because she played a dude one of the first times out.
Yeah, she was a hot dude. She was a hot dude with the best vagina I've ever seen on a dude.
She did. That was great, dude. Vagina.
This is the best. That's the best when you go to an art house movie, but then you get to see a vagina in it. It makes the whole night like worthwhile.
Now, why didn't, since you wrote the movie and Tom plays Wilbur,
why didn't you see
Wilbur
vagina
Wright?
In Night Two?
You play Wilbur. You pitched it. You guys play the Wright brothers, right?
Yes.
You're Wilbur and Orville Wright. You're just supposed to guess that, I guess, as you're watching it, because you're never really assigned as such. You're just standing around yelling at planes.
We're two dudes dressed up like dudes who work at Farrell's.
Yeah.
You know, the ice cream place?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to run through with a zoo.
Yeah.
Happy
it's somebody's birthday.
Oh. A lot of mustache wax. I love it. So you guys...
No, we had no intention of playing that role in the movie. In fact, it never really occurred to us.
Because they would have totally double-teamed Amelia Earhart if you guys had thought ahead, right?
We pitched a scene...
We pitched that, yeah.
Where we kind of save the day, and then there's like a big shower to celebrate.
That got nixed by Amy Adams' people.
Amy Adams' people didn't love that idea.
He shouldn't have called it the Bermuda shower. But, So, but she was, I thought she was, that's one of the things I thought you guys really stepped it up a notch, because I just saw the movie on a plane flight.
Woo! Best way to see it. Best way to see it.
It was on an individual, you know, viewer thing that they passed
JetBlue,
out.
JetBlue, you're looking at a nice one.
On Alaska, it was on Alaska.
Alaska, nice.
They hand you a thing where you can watch, I could have watched Taken again.
Sure.
To try and figure out if it makes any sense.
Sure.
But I went.
But you'd already seen it. So.
I had already seen it, so I went with Night at the Museum 2, and I got to say that the adding of Amy Adams as Amelia Earhart. I mean, I know you probably didn't know the casting what casting would occur, but adding like a hot girl that's there the whole time,
was a great idea.
Yeah, we didn't invent that.
Adding a hot girl.
They've been doing that in movies for years.
Yeah, but you forgot the hot girl in Night at Museum 1.
What about Carla Gugino?
It's hard to say. She's so sexy.
Carla Gugino's very sexy.
She's a hot lady, but she shows up and she's bookending the movie. She shows up in the beginning and the end. It's like, look at these, and you're like,
she wears some amazing sweaters. See, you agree. She wears some amazing sweaters in Night 1.
Yeah.
Night 2 was about pants.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I've actually got this written down. Did you visit the set a lot? I mean, come on. Monkeys and Amy Adams in those pants? Like, I would be there every goddamn day if I wrote that.
We were there as much as we could be, yes.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
We were there a lot. And we had lunch with the monkeys. Mm. And the only pants better than the pants that Amy Adams wears in the film are the pants that she wears when she's just hanging out between takes.
Yeah.
Also, which are a pair of, like,
she throws on some hotter pants?
Yes!
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 I mean, that's crazy. I know, she's hit a wall of impossibility.
It's no.
There's a pair of pants that she wears even better, and it's just like a pair of, like, Nike yoga pants.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I'm so jealous. Because I think she's great in everything, and I like the way she, I don't know, script-wise, how you did it. Like, did you plan for some of the characters to speak anachronistically, and some just to be very specific to their...
She
nailed it all the way through. She doesn't, like, have a misstep in terms of how her character talks.
Yeah, yeah, Katharine Hepburn in a Howard Hawks kind of movie was in the original pitch. That's how she should
talk. The idea was for the movie, and this is an interesting place to talk about this because it'll never come up anywhere else, really, is the idea was that all of the characters in Night 2 would be, like, sort of Island of the Misfit Toys. It'd only be characters from storage in the basement. So it was going to be like an Amelia Earhart, who of course got lost flying around the world. It was going to be like a little animated atom, like a nuclear atom, because he was like from nuclear power, and a Custer. We're also going to have like an old broken head of George Washington Carver. It was going to be like this weird assortment of things that weren't on display anymore. We're going to save the day, and then that kind of just fell by the wayside.
I would have loved the George Washington Carver thing.
Just, right? Just like a head.
If he just, it was just a head talking just about a head. Peanuts.
Yeah. Anybody exactly wants a refreshing peanut butter? Yeah, right.
Like, he and Amelia Earhart have a great conversation about, well, yeah, I came up with peanuts and you flew a plane.
Exactly.
Peanut butter. He didn't come up with peanuts.
Gotta bring the two together. Oh, you didn't come up with the actual peanuts? You just came up with the butter?
I think they were around, yeah.
Charles Schulz and or God.
But I wrote down, like, you know, it's too late now because the movie's come and gone, or not gone.
No, we'll do reshoots. We'll re-edit it and do reshoots. What's your idea?
Well, I just think the movie wasn't sold right. I think it was sold with a lot of Hank Azaria, and you should have just went with, the tagline should have been, monkey in a spacesuit running.
By the way.
Because that's the best thing that's ever been captured on film, a monkey in a spacesuit running.
Speaking of, there's a whole sequence that got cut, that they shot, that got cut. Maybe it'll be on the DVD, which comes out December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, or somewhere right around then. It does. It comes out right around December 2nd or 5th or something. But there was a scene where Larry chases the monkey in zero gravity. He goes into, like, the moon display.
And they fly around.
And they float around, and they chase each other in zero gravity. And the monkey pees on him in zero gravity, so it's like bubbles.
That was the point of the space monkey. They shot
it. The whole point of the space monkey was that he could pee bubbles at him.
Yeah.
They shot it. The footage exists. We'll never see it.
Except on Pearl Harbor Day,
Except
maybe.
On Pearl Harbor Day.
All right. Let's see if I have any other questions about that movie. But now that I heard that, I just, like, lost all my enthusiasm for the movie as it exists.
Right?
I just I just want to see what I didn't get to see. That's another question I had written down. What, like, you had to deal with the, you made this, you know, it was a massive, the first one was a massive hit. They come to you and say, let's do another one. And then you have all these great ideas, because, like, there's a, what is it, a Koontz that's running around in one of the museums?
There's a Jeff Koontz running around.
Koontz running around, and, like, what's that painter that the painting comes to life?
There's a Grant Wood,
Gothic.
American Gothic.
Comes to life, yeah.
Which I kind of thought that would look more like a painting. I didn't think it would be actors.
And what about what about the modern artist, though, that has, like, the comic book
panels? Oh, there's a Lichtenstein drawing. There's one that's based on, like, a William Blackens of people skating in Central Park.
Yeah,
a lot of those were in the script. Most of those were in the script. Nighthawks comes to mind.
Yeah.
Was in the script the little Einstein, the little Einstein bobblehead doll singing "That's the way, I like it"?
Ooh,
did the two of you put your heads together and come up with that?
Okay, this is a really interesting Pandora's box.
This makes
this
us
is
mad.
A really interesting Pandora's box you've opened, because no, we didn't write that. Originally,
I didn't think you did.
The riddle. Originally,
I felt I was on pretty safe ground speaking to you in such a derogatory manner. You guys would go, "Yes, we wrote it, and we're fucking proud of it."
Okay, Doug. So
here's
what happened.
It was called
Night at the Museum. Riddle of the Pyramids was the title of Night at the Museum 2.
And the riddle is the thing you have to figure out on the pyramids. And
it's like an ATM keyboard. And we were looking for what is a number that the Egyptians would be important to Egyptian people. So we spent a lot of time thinking about it and researching
pi.
And studying.
Pi makes sense. Like, the Egyptians discovered pi at the same time that they discovered it, like Angkor Wat. Like,
you
it's this weird mystical
you can't
number.
You can't build pyramids without understanding the concept of the number pi.
Because that's how they're designed. Yeah, you need that number
they
to figure
a circle.
Out
it's really cool.
The radius versus the circumference.
We worked on it for so long.
And that's so great. And so there was a little... Einstein was going to explain, and it was 17 seconds of him saying, the Egyptians totally understood pi.
One Einstein.
They shot it. It was one Einstein. But they even shot this. Of the little bobblehead Einsteins even explained. Pi. Obviously, the riddle of the pyramids is pi. The Egyptians discovered and understood pi. You can't build a pyramid without pi. You should look it up. Like, that was what he said.
Right.
They cut that and replaced it with, "That's the way, I like it."
Yeah, so, it was very weird.
We get a lot of shit about that on the internet.
Yeah.
Because those Einsteins look great. They help the story move along with knowing about pi. It's funny when Ben Stiller can't remember pi.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great?
It all works except for why are they singing a fucking...
Wouldn't it be great if it made sense?
Disco song.
Yeah. At a certain point, though, in the studio system, you know.
God forbid we get kids interested in math and history for 17 seconds.
Yeah. Let's use a song.
Well, there is a monkey that can come running through and pee on somebody. So.
Well, that's us.
We'll take that bullet.
That's what I mean. Is you can really tell that distinction in your comic voices that as I'm watching the movie. Well, these guys think it'd be funny for a monkey to pee in a dude's face, but they wouldn't think that these little bobbleheads singing, Casey and the Sunshine Band would be enjoyable for anyone.
I would say
what child would enjoy that? What child is going? Finally, one of my favorite disco era hits. Being sung by Einstein bobbleheads.
You were
perfectly rendered in millions of dollars of CGI effects.
You're literally preaching to the choir. There's so many questions.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why you gave the caveman a lighter in the first one.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you give a wax caveman a lighter?
It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in a film, and I get shit about it on a daily basis on the internet.
Fuck you guys! Well, yeah, that's the thing. The internet, they're a little cruel.
Yeah.
They're a little harsh. And I must admit that I'm one of them. I reviewed on, I was on a morning show in New York, and they said, review some movies really fast. And Night at the Museum opened that Friday.
The first one?
Yeah. And I said a Night at the Museum, a Lifetime to Forget or something like that.
Sure. It's okay.
It was lame. I hadn't seen it yet. I didn't know that.
Oh,
you were
just cracking wise.
That's right.
Yeah.
You were just being a talking head.
Yeah. I just make jokes about shit I don't know anything about.
There's a lot of that going
then
on.
Then I really sit down on a long plane flight and watch and do the research and I fall in love.
See?
I fell in love with that movie. It just had a lot of good stuff in it. I truly recommend it if you've got some time.
Don't make time.
If you're in jail, you can use it to watch this.
If you're in jail,
or on Alaska Airlines,
it is a weird lowering of standards that occurs. But there's still
that's called Hollywood,
still,
Doug.
Yeah, that's what
there's
we do.
A weird lowering of standards that occurs.
That's why
How
we're here.
You lived in Hollywood.
That's why we're here.
Oh. Did you ever guys write a scene where Ben tells Amelia that people watch movies on planes? She would have been blown away. But speaking of watching movies on planes, another movie I saw this year on a plane that I enjoyed thoroughly and was surprised by enjoying it so much was 17 Again. Club starring Mr. Thomas as a rich nerd.
Yes. That is the thing. All of my friends told me how much they loved that movie the week that it came out on airplanes.
Yeah, because none of your friends are showing up and saying, one please, at a Zac Efron movie at the fucking mall in their trench coat.
I suppose that's just... That's just serial killer stuff.
Yeah,
like
you
this.
Get on the FBI, most wanted list. One please.
No, but right about the second we hit that hit American Airlines.
Hey, good job, dude.
Oh, man, the texts and the emails.
It's really, you're partying, it's funny, and it's a good movie.
And that's what everybody says, is it's way better than they thought it was going to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it seems like it's going to suck.
That kid's good. Zach's
the
good.
The kid is awesome.
The kid's good.
That kid can act like a fucking tornado.
The kid's good.
Yeah, he had act 17, like, and the original, the kid had act 18, and he didn't cut it. He looked like 19 or 20, but Zach really was in the ballpark. He's got to do more basketball. He does basketball in all of his films.
I actually brought that up at the beginning. I brought that up when they was like one of the
too much basketball for
I was like, so, like, always basketball going to be in every... And everybody shot me and looked like, fuck you.
Yeah. He's good at it. You're good at being a nerd, so you play that part.
Too. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Nobody asked you. And I was like, all right.
He can't play football with his shirt off.
That's, I guess that's why. And swimming is just point. Swimming is just full on game.
Forget it. You can't make swimming about a swimmer without that girl showing up and trying to kill it.
Ooh, you should, right now. Let's text Efron and see if he'll do a swimming movie. We'll produce it.
Ooh,
I want a fortune.
You're gonna say let's text him. You're not looking at me.
Well, my phone's backstage.
I don't have his. You have his number?
Oh, sure.
And you could just text him right now.
I could.
Go get it. Gotta try. Just see what he writes back. He might write back something, right? He might say something by the end of the podcast.
He does. They do hang. They have hung.
How did you decide who played Wilbur and who played Orville?
We don't decide anything.
You saw it in the end titles when you saw the first screening of the movie?
They fit him for a mustache, so I knew which one he was, because Wilbur had a mustache.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
So you didn't have to you didn't have to glue on a mustache?
No.
Because there's nothing I hate more than gluing
horrible,
on a mustache.
Horrible, horrible
thing. I can't say for sure right now which Wright brother I am in the film.
You're Wilbur, according
yes.
to IMDb.
Yes, because you have a mustache.
Awesome.
I actually watched the end titles, too, just to see who were the voices of the things that had voices, because I thought
mostly
Harriet did all of them.
Yeah.
He did most of them.
All of them, but then it turns out there's a couple others in there that he didn't do. Fascinating. Okay, so you're texting to Zac Efron. We want you to star in a swimmer movie. And then go right back. Swimmer's directing?
I also, here's the other thing. Like, he won't know that we're like at a joke show. So if I write him like, hey, you want to do a swimming movie?
It might get greenlit.
Like, he's going to think I mean like at my house.
Like, what difference does it make? It's still a great idea for him to be in a swimming movie that you wrote.
Yeah, okay, I agree. I'm trying to. I got Doug Benson.
How about
right
a movie
here,
about a guy swimming with monkeys?
Overthought.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you're gonna read in the trades. You got greenlit.
So Ben, what have you seen in the theaters lately? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen a movie in the cinema since Tyson. It? Tyson was the last one I saw in the movies.
Ooh.
That was great.
Yeah.
It was really, really
who
good.
Who plays Tyson in that?
Some black guy. I don't know who that guy is. He was really good. Sounded just like him. That movie, cool. I thought that movie was great. I really, really enjoyed it.
So is that like an occupational hazard? Do you find yourself going to documentaries because scripted movies are even more irritating to someone who's
yes.
writing them all the time?
I don't think
Text
Tom does either. We
Text
don't see comedy. I don't see
down.
Comedies. I saw Up, which I very much enjoyed.
Up is a fucking bummer.
Yeah, it was great. I really like
Up is fucking heavy.
That first 10 minutes
is ripped from
rough.
The headlines with the balloon boy.
Right?
That's that was the funny version, I guess.
The funny version of the balloon.
So
boy,
what did your text to Zac Efron say?
I didn't want to say, come shoot a swimming movie.
Because I just come down at the watering hole.
I am also old enough to be his dad.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's
I
creepy.
Said, we might have a movie idea for you when you're around. Let's see if he writes back.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I wanted to, like, tease
oh,
a little.
Oh, fuck. Now we have to do it.
Now you have to have more of an idea.
Yeah. Shit, you're right.
All right.
I'll act like I meant it to somebody else.
Ooh.
What if
I'm like, no, that was totally...
That was for Zach Penn.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I was going to say, what if it's he's a young man who really enjoys swimming, but his whole family died in a water-related accident.
Yeah. That's Aquaman.
His grandparents. His grandparents don't know that he sneaks off every day after school to swim.
Swim, right.
And then... Because why is it... I just saw Whippet, you know, the right. Drew Barrymore roller derby thing. Why is every movie about how the parents don't want the kid to do this thing that clearly is going to maybe make them some money and some success? And
that like one did...
I'm sneaking off to be in the roller derby.
Yeah, like fucking Herbie Fully Loaded, for example.
That makes sense.
That shit doesn't make sense.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm agreeing with you.
Now, if a kid is good at porn, the parents will be like, do it. You'll make money.
What about, what you mean, Lindsay Lohan, what, her parents didn't want her to drive Herbie?
For some reason,
she couldn't say, hey, it drives itself. I don't even have to be good at this.
You know, we got fired. We got, you know, like, we got fired off that movie?
I guess Matt Dillon. But go ahead.
No, lovely guy.
Nice guy.
We got fired because we refused to make the front bumper smile.
Didn't make sense.
And the executive kept saying, and then Herbie smiles.
And that was our line in the sand.
No, he fucking doesn't. He's a car.
Yeah.
What do you mean he smiles? Explain to me how he smiles. And they're like, his bumper crinkles up into a smile. Bullshit.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
And we got fired.
Yeah, I bet Michael Keaton had your back on that, too.
Yeah. Well, that was way before shooting. We also had a whole backstory for why Herbie did stuff, which was that he was possessed.
The little boy locked in the back of the car.
Yeah, and he saw his mother's murder. Yeah. So, like, but he can't scream.
Yeah.
And then the car, like, ran off a cliff. So, the car's possessed.
Yeah.
That was...
Well, I didn't get a chance to see that one on a plane. I saw her music video, and that seemed pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's dancing around on or near Herbie.
Yeah.
That was right when she...
It was like, wasn't the lyrics really suggested?
Yes.
Like, it's time to come and go? Or
yeah, that was it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was called Work Your Tailpipe.
So...
And it was right when she got the D cups. Remember for a second?
Yeah.
Did you... So you got full credit, though, even though you were fired?
We shared credit, I believe. There's a few other names on there?
There's a bunch of ampersands and
26 guys wrote that movie after we were fired. Not an exaggeration or joke.
They only credited like six. Four, though. Like
they credited five.
Five of us.
All right. He's not asking that like I'm trying to lead to something.
Not interested, apparently.
I also just like that I had a lot of fun with the fact that it was called Fully Loaded. Like, why would they make a kid's movie that has an expression about something being completely drunk off its ass?
Right, it's also a car expression.
Yeah, it could have been called Herbie Tricked Out.
That's not sexual?
Well, that's sexual.
Lindsay Lohan with her teacups pouring over the hood, working the tailpipe.
You know what? Now that you mention it, it's impossible to name that movie.
Yeah.
Without something. Because love, it started off with Love Bug. The Love Bug was already like, Lindsay Lohan. Jesus, it's about chlamydia?
It's about crowds. Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's in a slightly moist tank top in front of it.
Herbie Goes Bananas? Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo? Every title's dirty.
They all sound like pornos, right?
They realize, Herbie gets a boner.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell Zac Efron that you want to make Jesus Goes Bananas? It's about, like, what if Jesus came to life and were able to talk and live amongst us?
By the way, that's...
Which he did. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. He came alive and wasn't able to talk.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. And the twist is he swims.
Yeah.
A lot. He loves to swim on water.
Yeah.
Okay, so... He never sinks. Let's play some games. Let's play...
Bring it.
Let's play a quick... Try to do a quick build a title. I was excited by these guys' excitement backstage. They were actually, like, they're excited about playing the games, unlike other guests I won't name that have a very bad attitude about it. But give me a movie title to start off a build a title with. Something that's got three or four words and it would be good. That's a horrible one. He said Toxic Avenger. I can't think of any other titles that end in Toxic or begin in Avenger.
The Toxic Avenger.
All right, so you lose. What about you?
The Color of Money.
The color of money.
There's the color. Oh, good.
The color.
The color.
Of money. So you can drop right. the. So you just need something that ends in color or begins in money.
Right.
Hmm.
But you couldn't do the purple of money.
No, you could do the color of purple of money. You can't do.
No, because right. that would.
Oh, but you could do the color of money train.
Yes, you can.
Does no one remember Money Train?
Yeah, huh? Money Train.
Money Train.
Well, Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, oh, please.
Snipes, my
when
friend.
When Snipes ruled the world.
Yeah, it was Snipes world and Harrelson together again. Like right. we loved when they played basketball.
Right.
What would they be like if they were on a fast train?
Yes. Right. And
right? they had money on
and
it.
Money Train had a copycat yes, crime spree in New York.
It did.
People mimicked.
Yeah.
Somebody squirted lighter fluid and lit somebody.
The guy
on
who
fire.
Sells the tickets in the subways. Yeah. There was a couple of those.
Ugh, that's a horrible thing to do to a person.
Yeah, right?
Money Train or light him on fire?
Both. Okay, so we've got The Color of Money, Train.
Hmm.
What's a movie that starts with train? Oh, I got one. The Color of Money, Training Day.
Nice.
The Color of Money, Training Day.
Fortnite.
The Color... Oh, wow.
Sorry.
The Color of Money... Fortnite?
Yes.
The Color of Money...
Training Day for Night.
Day for Night. At the museum.
Boom!
Oh!
Wow.
But if you did Battle Through the Smithsonian, we'd really be fucked, because there's no movie... Was there a movie called Smithsonian? Ever?
No. I doubt it.
No.
Yeah.
And why didn't you guys get the Holocaust Museum in there in some way? Just have him run through and maybe stop and cry for a second.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shoes. What would the shoes do? That big pile of shoes?
Yeah.
Oh, those would be perfect.
Yeah.
All those shoes could like be hurled at... is there a George Bush figure in any of those museums? Okay, let's play Let 'Em All Again, because I don't want to run out of time on that. You guys seemed excited about it, and I like that.
I just hope I'm not in like whatever shitty movie it is.
Well, every time I come up with a theme based on, who the guests are, something that will be apropos to them and their careers. So these are all really shitty movies.
Okay.
These are all cop films. These are all cops in them.
Mm. Oh, okay. Mm.
Yeah, because you guys are on that show and that movie.
The 9/11 show.
9/11
show.
Oh, Reno 9/11. And how is the city of Reno's efforts to get the show up and running again? How are they doing?
They're trying their damnedest.
They're really working at it.
I guess they didn't hear that we're doing a show for NBC.
Yeah.
But they're trying really hard.
There could still be something, though, right?
Sure. Whoa, it's set in another city, too, in Nevada. They're going to be
bummed. Yeah, I know. They're going to be bummed. Yeah.
Your new show's in Nevada as well?
It's set in North Las Vegas.
Yeah. North Las Vegas.
Oh, yes. Boy, they're going to see that as a
slap. That's a spoiler alert, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This first movie, and try not to look at me if you can, because you can kind of figure out where it is alphabetically if you look at me.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Wow.
Okay, this is from 1981.
Things were ringers or something.
Okay.
Okay, it's from 1981.
Okay.
And what else do you need to know about it? I like to give a clue for every movie. It's a cop movie.
Okay.
And my clue is that the fifth billed actor in the movie... his name is Kenny Marino. So it's not the Ken Marino that we know and love.
Not your friend, but it's Kenny Marino. Kenny Marino.
Yeah.
And the year is 1981.
Yes. Wait. Yeah.
Okay.
Confuse me for a second.
81.
There it is. Okay, from 81. And there's 14 names. So Ben, we'll start with you. How many names do you think you can get it in? You can start at 14, or you can do a crazy jump to a lower number.
Start from the bottom and you go up.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
say
obscure to the number
14
one
names.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with nine.
Nine names.
Yeah.
I'll try to do it in seven. Great.
Tom's going to say seven. So you can either say name that movie or.
I'll go six.
You guys are fierce competitors. I thought you were friends.
81.
You want to go less than six, or do you want him to name it?
Name that move.
You get six names.
81. Now, do you pick crazy obscure movies, or is this like a...
These are, movies.
They came out.
Was it ever shown in a motion picture theater?
Everything has to have been shown in a motion picture theater. There's no direct-to-video. Right. I think he has direct-to-video movies in here, but... Okay, so we got the last name in the list.
Kenny Marino.
He's up there pretty high.
Ooh.
This is Lance Henriksen.
Oh, Lance Henriksen.
Cop movie.
Okay.
Great actor. Classic, ugly face character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not ugly face, but, you know, like rugged.
Yeah, rugged.
Peter Michael Getz.
Yes.
He's another character. There's a lot of character actors in this. Lane Smith.
Yes.
Lee, you said yes.
I can name it.
Lee,
you
what, name you, it? You're not, it's...
Keep going,
it's
sorry, number one.
Right?
Okay, you
told
Lance Henriksen.
Okay, Lee Richardson and Matthew Lawrence.
Lance Henriksen, 81. I'm going to say Terminator. Yeah, he was in Terminator. He was in the first Terminator. 81?
Yeah, he was. And it was probably around that time.
Not it, though.
But that's not the correct answer.
Thank you
for playing.
Do I get one more name, or do I get to try?
You can just go ahead and guess if you want.
I feel like it's down to one of either two movies.
Really? So do you want another name, or do you think, or can you just pick one?
It has to do with Lance Henriksen.
The next name on the list is Lindsay Krause.
It's Beverly Hills Cop.
No,
it's RoboCop.
No,
I thought that too. He's not in RoboCop. Yeah, Lance Henriksen isn't in RoboCop.
The rest of the names are James Tolkien, Bob Balaban, Kenny Marino, the aforementioned, Carmine.
Is it Running Scared?
No. Richard Ferrangi, Ferrangioi.
He was
the late great Jerry Orbach, his second build, and the number one build actor in this movie is Treat Williams, and it was directed by Sidney Lumet. And it's called Prince of the City.
Prince of the City.
Yeah. But Tom, you got the point, though, because Ben couldn't name it. So let's do another one. That was fun. I'm serious.
No call from Efron yet.
Okay. So the bidding starts with our winner, Tom. And this is from 2001. It's a cop movie. And Leonard Maltin says it abandons credibility for melodrama. That's your clue. So it abandons credibility for melodrama.
In the year 2001.
And there are 12 names. How many names can you get it in, Tom Lennon?
Eight.
Eight names, he says.
I'm going to say seven.
RBG says seven.
2001.
Makes it very serious and intense if you whisper it.
I used to do a lot of drugs.
How many?
Huh?
What?
Huh?
Who are we on? Who's bidding?
2001. Ben's
going. I said.
Fuck
it.
I'll do it in six. Go.
Six. He says fuck it. He can do it in
go.
Six.
Go. Go. Yeah.
Okay. Name that movie in six names. Here we go.
I think I know this one.
Nick Chinland.
Oh.
The
great Nick Chinland. Oi.
Eva Mendes. Small part for her.
Mm-hmm.
Macy Gray.
Oh, fuck.
Not normally an actress.
Okay, I have not seen it.
Snoop Dogg was in this. Dr. Dre. How many names was I going to do? Six. One, two, three, four,
Snoop
five.
Snoop Dogg and Dre.
And then your last name that you get is Cliff Curtis.
Snoop Dogg.
Is it... It's a cop movie?
From 2001. A cop movie, yes. Everything's going to be tied up. You can't get it. It's going to be a tie game.
I can't.
Fuck. I'm sorry. I don't know that movie.
That's all right. Does anybody know it? Does it help if I say Ethan Hawke and Denzel Washington?
That would probably help, yes.
Yes. It helps a little bit. All right, so now you're tied up.
It was Training Day?
Training Day, yes. I like that. That's kind of fun, though, guessing after I've told you what the answer is. Training Day?
I got a bunch of guesses out there.
Oh, you heard all the people.
You'll get a point from guessing after you? I feel like I should have a
you
point.
You guys get
I said
point
it first.
So far.
Okay.
So this is a...
But those are just loss points. They're not...
Yeah, those aren't points.
They're not true victories.
No, they're not
victories.
You're no Patton Oswalt.
No.
Who names shit with no names.
Well, have you seen the TV at his house?
Very big TV.
It's the size of this theater. No.
It's a big TV.
Just the TV.
And he has a little, like, tea cozy built into his
tea cozy
couch. Yeah.
It's like where the hobbits live.
Okay, Ben starts the bidding on this one. This is from 1987.
87.
Yes.
The further back we go, the more likely I'm going to know it, I bet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, this is from 1987. And you've... it's a cop movie. And Len Maltin calls it loud, violent, trashy.
Oh.
Okay, and it's you've got seven names to deal with, and Ben starts the bidding.
Five.
Ben can name it in five.
Four.
Tom says four.
Loud, violent, trashy.
87. I have a solid guess right now.
Loud, violent, trashy.
I've got a fluid guess.
What'd you guess? Four?
He said he could do it in four.
I said I could do it in four.
I'll try three.
He's going to try three.
I don't think I can do it in two.
You got a solid guess, but it won't fly with two.
Fuck it, two.
Two, yes. Now we got a match.
Or why don't I just guess now?
No.
I have to hear the two.
He can say one if he wants.
Okay.
I'm not gonna, though.
You're gonna say name
I'm
that
gonna
movie?
I'm gonna say name that movie, yeah.
Okay, the two names you get are Tracy Wolf and Darlene Love.
Right, that's because the movie is, if it's loud and noisy, 1987, it's Lethal Weapon 2.
That came out in 89. Lethal Weapon 2. That was so good, though.
And yet, it's on the same page as this one.
Yeah, it was very easy for me to look up.
So could I guess?
Do you know when Lethal Weapon 3 came out?
I noticed you're not turning the page.
That'd be 92.
Fuck.
Lethal Weapon 4 came out in 98.
So do
Tracy Wolf and Darlene Love are like listed last every time. And they don't get a promotion.
So do I get a guess?
Yes.
I'm going to say Lethal Weapon.
That's correct. Lethal Weapon.
For those of you at home, he is flipping the bird to me.
And the audience.
And the audience. Mostly the audience.
Mostly the audience.
What was like the, in any of your movies, because they've all been PG-13 or lower, right? Everything you've done?
No, a huge flop that was R.
Prison, You Are Going to Prison was
first
a
movie.
Big flop.
Oh, okay.
R. Horrible disaster.
First draft was NC-17, they told us.
Really? That was an R.
Well,
Herbie was a G.
That movie's wall-to-wall prison rape.
Yeah. Well, not as much as the first draft. Yeah. The first draft was...
Rape is always around the corner in that movie.
Yeah. Speaking of
you
that...
You could have called it Let's Go to Rape Corner.
Yeah. It would have been better than the title it had.
By A.A. Milne. Okay, but of the ones that were like family movies, because you've done a bunch of those, that seems to be your basic stock and trade, the thing that you're good at. They've all been, the family ones have all been hits, right?
They're very, very big hits.
Yeah, but some of them have been very
like
big.
Like Museum and the Pacifier and stuff like that.
So what was like something that you guys really wanted to get into one of the movies that you couldn't because of the restriction on the rating? Like, did you ever want Ben to tell the monkey to go fuck himself?
They told us to, for Herbie Fully Loaded, originally there was because it was set in like the Fast and Furious world of street racing, and there was a bikini girl who would like drop her flag before each race.
Sure, race. Yeah.
And she fell in love with Lindsay Lohan because she thought Lindsay Lohan was a
cool guy.
Disney said that was a little too sexy.
Yeah. So those scenes were kind of hot.
They made us take that. Yeah. But there was a very hot chick in a bikini in love with Lindsay Lohan. Yeah. Was like the C
story. Which then
happened
to sort of be true, except it was Samantha Ronson.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the great thing with Museum 2 is you really finally got around those kinds of restrictions and put Amy Adams in some awesome pants. You knew whoever was going to play Amelia Earhart was going to wear those awesome pants. You can't not wear those pants.
Even so, Amy Adams is...
She went above and beyond.
She went above and beyond.
Who was up for it? Who was close to it?
Well, that role was actually requested. Someone else requested that role.
We wrote the whole thing to woo another actress who won.
Not Zac Efron.
Oh, false alarm. False alarm.
He pulled out his phone, listeners.
Yeah,
false alarm. We thought it was Zac.
No.
Tell me of an idea for High School Musical 4. I'm sure he wants to dive right in and continue to be in those movies. He's not distancing himself at all.
In any way.
Shirtless on magazine covers every chance he gets.
No, we wrote that role for somebody else who requested it to be written for them.
And it sounds like you're going to not give us the name.
Reese Witherspoon wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Why didn't she ultimately do it?
I don't know.
We don't know.
She ended up doing something else.
The reason the movie's
better off, I think. Reese Witherspoon would look dumb in that haircut. That wouldn't work on her.
Those are the comments of Doug Benson.
They do not reflect 20th century Fox Corporation.
It might be.
Yeah, that's the reason Amelia Earhart is in the film, is because Reese Witherspoon
wanted to play that role.
Reese Witherspoon said, I love this movie, my kids love it, I want to play Amelia Earhart. and we wrote it. And then at the end, she was too busy to do it.
Great idea for someone else.
Yeah.
That worked out great, because Amy Adams wasn't in Legally Blonde 2. This is the first movie I could think of. Four Christmases? She wasn't in
Four. I feel like I should have gotten a point for just... that I said Lethal Weapon before I said...
that you got any Lethal Weapon at all was incredibly impressive.
Well, wasn't it, though, a little bit?
Yeah. Let's try another one. You can start the bidding. This movie is a cop movie that... there are three movies that have this title. But I'm just thinking about the one from 1995, not the one from 72 or 87. And there are 20 names.
Wait, 95 is the
one? And one is 72?
95 is the one we're looking for.
And one is 72
by the same name. This is the most confusing clue. Would not have helped me.
72, when was the next one?
72, 80. Then 87, and then 95. They just kept saying, you know what, this title works. Let's keep doing it.
This is interesting.
Totally
it's
different movies.
Different movies same with title. The same title, so it's not like Blue Streak.
But they all have cops in it, I think.
It's not Blue Streak.
Or maybe the first one doesn't have cops in it. The first one doesn't. All right, most confusing clue ever. Just 20 names. It's from 1987.
From 87, I'll say 16.
He's going to get in 16.
72, I'll say 10.
10 names, good. Let's move this along.
72.
Fuck it, 9.
I like when he says fuck it and then only goes down one more.
I'll go 7.
You go 7. He's going 7. Great.
That's it?
He's going 7.
You want him to name and say?
Name that movie.
Name that movie. Here we go.
Wait, can I ask, are they all cop movies?
I think two of them are. I'll even read
even
you the
more
first.
Confusing.
The first one is it says Andy Warhol meets Sunset Boulevard. So that's probably not a cop movie.
Oh,
but then the second one is a cop. Movie.
That's the first one.
Yeah, the 72. 72. Then the second one is a
Andy
cop
Warhol
movie from 87. And then
Andy Warhol's not a movie; it's a guy.
I know. Is that weird that he would meet a street and then a whole movie is just one weird looking guy standing at a street sign.
They mean an Andy Warhol movie meets the movie Sunset Boulevard, right?
I think
that's what he means.
Right.
They're talking shorthand here. They don't say he left the building. They say he ankled. All right.
They know you're in the biz.
She said, Amelia Earhart says ankles.
Oh, yeah.
Let's ankle. I like that. Okay, Jeremy Piven, Tone Loke, Henry Rollins, Hank Azaria, Kevin Gage. Is that six names? Tom Noonan.
This is the 87.
87. No, 95. This is the 95.
95. Henry Rollins was in it.
Yeah. And Tone Loke. And Jeremy Piven. And Hank Azaria.
You have the Tone Loke box set at home, don't you? So.
I do. I know it by heart.
And Tom Noonan's that guy that's always really creepy. Like, he was the big, weird, creepy guy in Manhunter that was like,
is this
serial killer.
Tone Loke.
Tone Loke is in it. I know. That doesn't help. That hurts.
It hurts.
It hurts. You can't... what? Name any movie Tone Loke was in.
Henry Rollins hasn't been in that many.
Ace Ventura.
Henry Rollins? Oh, Tone Loke was in Ace Ventura.
And Johnny Mnemonic. He's made some powerful choices.
Tone Loke sort of paved the way with Ace Ventura for Ice-T to be on a Special Victims Unit.
Totally.
He really opened up the door to raspy rappers who don't act very well.
I don't know. I don't know it. Sorry.
All three of the movies from 72, 87, 95 are called Heat.
Oh.
And the one I want you guys to guess
from 95
was the Michael Mann one with Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Val Kilmer, John Voight, Tom Sizemore, Amy Brenneman, Ashley Judd, Michael T. Williamson. A fucking shitload of people in this movie. Dennis Haysbert, Natalie Portman, William Fichtner, the great William Fichtner.
Bill Fichtner, sure.
Love that guy. You do that with everybody, right? Just make it sound like you know everybody.
I did a TV show with him for a while.
What show?
It was called MDs.
Really?
Yeah. It was terrible.
All right, well, we got to go. Do you guys have anything you want to plug?
No.
We're doing a show for NBC next season, possibly. You're working on a pilot.
New pilot. A lot of the Reno faces are going to be on it.
Well, that's fantastic. I could never tire of the Reno faces.
It's going to be very funny.
Fantastic. It's a pleasure to have you guys on here. I don't know either of you very terribly well. We've met, but this was an absolute delight. You both seem to judge my sincerity.
I don't say that after shit shows.
No, it was a good one. That was a good one.
It was good.
I'm going to go ahead and say that was a good one.
So yeah. It didn't go horribly, is what you're saying.
It went pretty sure. A lot better than horribly.
Yeah. I'll take that. I'll take that.
Would you like that in a review? This movie's a lot better than horrible.
It's better.
Fuck yeah. We never than get that. But yeah.
Well, I'm going to be, I got some plugs. I'm going to be at Ohio State performing and just hanging out on the campus on October 28th. And I'll be at the Funny Bone in Bloomington. Funny Bone in Bloomington, Indiana, November 12th through the 14th. This is 09, of course, in case you're listening to this podcast years from now.
Years in the future. What if you're listening to it years in the past? Get ready. Those dates are coming up. Remember when that naked dude showed up in the parking lot and warned you that Doug Benson was coming to town in 20 years?
When people do finally get around to making a time machine, it's just going to be for something like that.
Plugs.
To go back and get the jump on a podcast.
Yeah. It's just going to be advertising shit.
Yeah.
Hey, Coke Zero's coming out in a quarter century.
Be ready.
Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thanks,
Doug. And as always,
thanks,
Willem Dafoe is the shithead. Yeah, I went to old school. Willem Dafoe.
Cold is viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves.